This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Senators sworn in. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, January 17. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The impeachment trial of President Trump is technically underway with a ceremonial reading of the articles and lawmakers pledging impartiality.
The U.S. has reversed course in its assessment of an Iranian missile strike in Iraq. Central Command now says 11 American soldiers were injured.
A third manager is now gone in the wake of the Houston Astros cheating scandal. The Mets' Carlos Beltran is out after 10 weeks on the job.
And the rankings of the best and worst airlines, where Delta is tops for a third straight year.
It is an impressive record. They have chosen to focus on reliability, and you can see it paying off. And I do think this is, running an airline is a really complex business, and all parts of the watch, if you will, have to be in sync.
Travel writer Scott McCartney at the Wall Street Journal on why Delta consistently does so well and American Airlines does not. Start things off in Washington, where the Senate has formally opened the impeachment trial of President Trump. Supreme Court Justice John Roberts yesterday performed the swearing-in of senators who will act as jurors when House managers present articles of impeachment starting this coming Tuesday. They pledged to deliver impartial justice in considering the two charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer of New York.
When the Chief Justice walked in, you could feel the weight of the moment. I saw members on both sides of the aisle visibly gulp.
Lawmakers from both sides continue to debate whether new witnesses and evidence will be allowed in the trial. Those issues are not expected to be decided until after the trial begins. The Wall Street Journal says GOP leaders believe they can keep Republicans united to block any efforts by Democrats to subpoena witnesses at the outset of the trial. At least two-thirds of the senators would have to vote to convict Mr. Trump to remove him from office. Change in information about Iran's missile attack on a base in Iraq that is home to American troops and coalition forces. Turns out several U.S. service members were injured during last week's assault on Al-Assad Air Base. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
President Trump said in an address to the nation the morning following the attack that no Americans were injured. But a spokesman for the U.S. Central Command now says that out of caution, 11 U.S. service members were eventually flown out of Iraq after being treated for concussion symptoms. They were sent to bases in either Germany or Kuwait. When deemed fit for duty, the service members are expected to return to Iraq. Iran's assault was retaliation for a U.S. drone strike days earlier that killed a powerful Iranian military general. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Top administration officials have stood by the assertion that the threat from General Qasem Soleimani was imminent, but have offered conflicting reasons of what that immediate threat exactly was, and have defended the intelligence that led them to that conclusion. Well, they are meant to act as the ultimate deterrent and provide a clear marker that, if crossed, will draw fierce retribution. But red lines in American foreign policy over the past decade have often failed to dissuade bad actors, particularly foes in the Middle East, such as Syria and Iran. It's a story by Ben Wolfgang, military correspondent at The Washington Times. Ben, explain.
So-called red lines in foreign policy, both by the U.S. and by a number of other countries, aren't exactly new, but over the past 9-10 years in the U.S. particularly, we've had at least two really high-profile examples of them being used by presidents, and in neither case did they really pan out, I think, the way the administration hoped. I mean, number one, of course, is back in 2012, the infamous President Obama red line, where he actually, used the phrase red line in an off-the-cuff press conference at the White House, saying that if Syria, Bashar Assad's government troops used chemical weapons against rebel forces in Syria, that would be a red line for the U.S. and we would do something about it. And then, you know, more recently, President Trump, just like about a week or so ago, said that if Iran launched any attacks on U.S. military bases in the Middle East, and he didn't use the phrase red line, but he said that would be met with, we'd be sending some of our beautiful military equipment, as only President Trump can put it, toward Iran. So sort of laying out his own red line. And of course, what both of those instances have in common, Gordon, is that the adversary to which we directed the red line went ahead and did the very thing that we warned them against. And in both cases, there weren't military repercussions. President Obama didn't bomb Bashar Assad's government forces. In fact, he, we can remember now, negotiated this strange, bizarre sort of deal with Russia where they would oversee Syria getting rid of their chemical weapons. And that didn't end up happening either because, of course, they used them years later. And President Trump now last week decided, not to respond after Iran fired more than a dozen ballistic missiles at U.S. military bases. So red lines are good examples of tough talk, but as I think both of these examples show, things get pretty complicated when you actually have to decide whether or not to pull the trigger. And in both of those cases, the president's decided against enforcing their own red line.
Yeah, it does seem like it's subject to interpretation as well, right? The President Trump said, you better not, attack our bases. Iran did, but, sort of half-heartedly, right? Some of those missiles were duds, and maybe that has something to do with it?
I think it does. I think, in fact, we even had National Security Advisor, White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien on some of the Sunday morning talk shows this week. He used the phrase red lines, and he said the red line is if American servicemen or women are killed or wounded in an attack by Iran. Of course, that's what kind of kicked off this whole crisis with Iran we're seeing now, is when Iranian-backed militias killed a U.S. contractor a few weeks ago. That kind of got this whole ball rolling. And so it seems like while the president didn't lay it out that way, his actual red line with respect to Iran is whether or not people, particularly American servicemen and women, are killed or wounded. But again, you're right. It is subject to interpretation because by the letter, that's not what he said. And if you look at it just kind of, sort of technically, the technical aspect of the words that he used, he just said attack a base, which is what Iran did, but nobody was killed. So you're right. It does get a little convoluted and complicated, and it seems like, particularly with President Trump, you kind of have to read into his words a little more deeply than what they might look like on face value.
We're speaking with Ben Wolfgang, military correspondent at The Washington Times. His piece is called Red Line Warning: Threats Dare Adversaries to Test Will of Presidents. You said, too, these red lines sometimes can come with a host of major problems. Like what?
Well, I think one of the biggest problems, well, look, there's a number of different aspects here. Number one is there's the domestic political aspect, which is, of course, top of mind for President Trump because this is a re-election year. It was top of mind for President Obama in 2012 because that was his re-election year.
All right, thanks, Ben. Ben Wolfgang, military correspondent at The Washington Times. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. The Senate has overwhelmingly approved the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, an overhaul of North America's trade rules. It now goes to the desk of President Trump, who's expected to sign it. The Senate voted in favor yesterday, 89-10, to replace the 26-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. The new accord updates trading rules to address new technology, safeguard environmental and labor standards in Mexico, and toughen requirements for auto industry trade among the three countries. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross was on the Fox Business Network.
The two deals, the USMCA and the China deal, right, that's over $2 trillion of bilateral trade that's been changed. Put that in perspective, that's 10% the size of our whole economy.
The vote reassures farmers, manufacturers, and other businesses that tariff-free trade will continue in North America. Passage, by the way, helps President Trump fulfill a top campaign promise. 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, the Senate has formally taken over President Trump's impeachment case as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and senators swore an oath to administer impartial justice in the upcoming trial. Earlier, House impeachment managers returned to the Senate to present the two articles of impeachment before the assembled senators, reading the charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress into the record. The managers will prosecute the case case against the president when the trial officially begins on Tuesday. Number two, the Senate action came after a government watchdog released a report yesterday finding that the White House broke the law by withholding aid to Ukraine that had been approved by Congress. The Government Accountability Office said faithful execution of the law does not permit the president to substitute his own policy priorities for those that Congress has enacted into law. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
The Government Accounting Office confirmed that the president's actions at the center of our impeachment articles, withholding congressionally approved military aid from Ukraine, was illegal.
The GAO says the White House Office of Management and Budget withheld funds for a policy reason which is not permitted under the Impoundment Control Act. Number three, FBI agents have arrested a former Canadian Armed Forces reservist and two other men who authorities say are linked to a violent white supremacist group. The men were believed to be heading to a pro-gun rally next week in Virginia's capital. The three were arrested yesterday on federal charges in a criminal complaint unsealed in Maryland. Authorities say the men were believed to be planning to attend a pro-gun rally planned for Monday in Richmond. And more fallout from the baseball cheating scandal. Carlos Beltran is out as manager of the Mets before a single game. The Mets say Beltran and the team agreed to mutually part ways. The move came 2 days after Boston cut ties with manager Alex Cora, who was Houston's bench coach in 2017 when Beltran played for the Astros. The day before that, and manager A.J. Hinch and general manager Jeff Luhnow were fired by Houston.
Man.
Who's next?
Cascading, right.
Jeez.
I got three bench positions to fill now. I think I saw something that said the Carlos Beltran was very forthcoming in their conversation. I thought
10 weeks ago?
During like the 12 hours of interviews when he was hired or after he was outed.
Right.
Carlos Beltran, undefeated, by the way, as Mets manager. 22 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Ever wanted to learn how to play guitar or bass? Try the Fender Play app for guitar, bass, and ukulele. With Fender Play, you can play your first song in just minutes from experienced instructors. I've always wanted to learn to play the guitar, and this app makes it so easy. Fender Play goes step by step, tailored to your musical taste, all from your phone, tablet, or computer. With a Fender Play membership, you can master chords, songs, and techniques at your own pace, track progress in their app, get support in Fender's exclusive online community, and get unlimited access to hundreds of lessons for an entire year, all for less than the average cost of one traditional music lesson. For a limited time, new members can try Fender Play free for 2 weeks and save 50% off a Fender Play annual plan. Go to Fender.com/podcast and enter the special offer code MORNING at checkout. Offer ends Monday, January 20th at midnight Pacific time, so act fast. That's Fender.com/podcast and use the offer code MORNING to try it free, save 50%, and start learning today. Fender.com/podcast and the code MORNING.
Thanks for being with us. Flight cancellations increased, so did long delays, bumping ticketed passengers, and consumer complaints. Overall, last year was a frustrating one for many U.S. travelers, but the travel pain wasn't evenly distributed. In his annual rankings of the best and worst airlines, Scott McCartney at the Wall Street Journal says Delta excelled and finished at the top for the third year in a row. At the bottom of the rankings, American Airlines. For the third year in the past five, he says those two airlines were on different flight paths in 2019. Scott, Delta impresses as three-time defending champ.
It is an impressive record. They have chosen to focus on reliability, and you can see it paying off. And I do think this is running an airline is a really complex business, and all parts of the watch, if you will, have to be in sync. Maintenance, crew scheduling, airport. It's a really complicated thing, and they figured out a lot of ways to make it work.
Some of these comparisons between Delta as the best and, say, American Airlines as the worst or one of the worst from like a day-to-day execution are stunning. What are some of those stats?
The one that really jumps out at me is the denied boarding, bumping people. And this is something, you know, it's taken Delta a couple years to get to where they want to get, but they have basically eliminated bumping people, and they do it through a combination of reducing their overbooking, but also being generous with their incentives to entice volunteers to give up their seat. In the 12-month period we looked at, Delta bumped a total of 9 people. And, you know, that's out of 160-some million people. The same 12-month period, American bumped 15,000 people. And, you know, there's now American says some of that's 737 MAX grounding related, but it's always a choice of how the airline handles it. And you can see a stark difference there. Cancellations is another area where Delta has really done a remarkable job. They last year, in 2018, they canceled 0.9% of their flights, which is really kind of extraordinary because it's an outdoor business. And you think about snowstorms and hurricanes and all the reasons why you have to cancel flights, as well as the day-to-day thunderstorms and things like that, or maintenance things. 0.9% of their flights. In 2019, they improved on that and got it down to 0.7. So that works out to an average of only 36 flights a day. For 2019, American averaged 159 cancellations a day.
Jeez. These are two enormous airlines, obviously. Is it, and it's not the first time we've seen American at the bottom or near the bottom. Is it their lack of commitment versus Delta's actual commitment?
You know, I think it's a host of things. I think, you know, some of it is just relations with employees, labor relations. American, you know, they had sort of tale of 2 years last year. For 7 months of the year, they were at war with their mechanics, and that ruined their operation. That was a lot of American's problem last year. And American says, you know, in the months we didn't have that, the 4 or 5 other months of the year, we ran a really good operation.
We're speaking with Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. He's out with his list of the best and worst U.S. airlines of 2019. All right, who are some of the others on the best and worst list?
So it was interesting to me. Southwest did quite well last year. They moved up into a tie for second with Alaska. Alaska Delta sort of for many years have sort of battled back and forth, 1 and 2. For Southwest, you know, they had their own mechanics issue on contract. They actually settled their contract, got back to work, but it did result in some cancellations.
Scott McCartney at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, January 17. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Senators sworn in for the impeachment trial. Central Command now says 11 U.S. service members were injured after last week's missile attack by Iran. China's economic growth has slowed to a 30-year low. Fresh record highs for stocks here in the U.S. Alphabet, the parent of Google, has become the fourth U.S. company to reach a market value of $1 trillion. Heads up, travelers, snow and ice on tap for a chunk of the northern U.S. Carlos Beltran out as Mets manager because of the Astros cheating scandal, and the exercising dog who lit up Twitter. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Let Dell Small Business Technology Advisors help you upgrade to the latest Windows 10 business computers with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. Americans won't get much of a financial reprieve from a limited trade deal signed with China on Wednesday. because while the truce helps consumers avoid the pain of further tariffs, it does not erase all the earlier ones. Jessica Menton, personal finance and markets reporter at USA Today, has been taking the pulse of economists. Jess, what are you hearing?
While the truce does help consumers avoid the pain of further tariffs, it doesn't erase all of the earlier ones. And that's a key factor into this. So really the most important element of the deal is what didn't happen, and that is further tariffs. There were tariffs that Trump wanted to put in place in mid-December, and this deal basically cancels that. And it would have hit a lot of consumer-focused products, including cell phones, laptops, and toys. So because of that, it's really helping consumers.
All right, so where does the pain still linger after this phase one was signed?
The issue is there's still tariffs that are in place. So if you look back to September, those tariffs that were put in place that month, they've been halved, but they're still in place, even different rounds before that. And so because of that, they haven't completely all been erased. And so during that round of tariffs in September, that hit a lot of apparel and footwear products. So that's why economists aren't really expecting to see a big difference when it comes to how consumers would really feel the impact, because those are still in place right now.
Well, what would I mean, slightly off subject here, what would have happened if we had done this in a real wobbly economy?
That's a great question. And consumer spending is what powers the U.S. economy, and that's what's really helped the economy stand on its legs while manufacturing has suffered during this trade battle over the last 18 months. And it still remained a bright spot because the U.S. unemployment rate is at a half-century low. People still have their jobs. They're able to still have this purchasing power in light of what's happened with the trade deal. And so really, at the end of the day, the consumer is still strong, and we need the consumer to be strong to help the economy move forward.
We're speaking with Jessica Menton, personal finance and markets reporter at USA Today. Her piece is called "Americans Won't Get a Total Reprieve After China Trade Deal as Effects of Lost Factory Jobs and Pricier Goods Linger." I think you had said in your story, too, if nothing else, there's at least less uncertainty than there was. Right. And from at least a market standpoint, or maybe a business planning standpoint, that's helpful.
When it comes to businesses and the markets, that's what they were looking at. It wasn't the exact deal that they wanted, but it does remove some uncertainty, especially for companies, say technology companies. If those tariffs had gone into effect last month, that really would have hurt their earnings projections moving forward. So that gives them a bit more clarity going ahead. And the biggest thing they're looking ahead to, because Trump said as far as rolling back of the prior tariffs, that wouldn't happen until a phase two deal. And so that's what they're looking ahead to, especially some of these factories and manufacturing companies, to see that they're, since some of them were rolled back, that does help them a little bit, but they really need to see more clarity moving forward on what's going to happen with these future phases.
All right, so speaking of the future, what about other trade agreements? Because we have some kind of things with Europe to consider too, right?
China isn't the only issue we have on trade. It's beyond that. So the U.S. economy faces more challenges when it comes to Washington wanting to slap duties on $60 billion worth of annual European car and auto parts exports. And then also the U.S. is threatened to impose tariffs on just over $2 billion worth of French goods. And the economist I spoke with said, because we were able to have some ground with China right now, that this could help us negotiate with Europe.
All right. And then finish up with kind of the one item you touched on about recommendations for investors here.
Heading into this year, there were a lot of uncertainties when it comes with trade, but also it's an election year, and occasionally there can be different flare-ups when you look, say, in recent weeks with Iran. So there's always going to be different unknowns. If you're looking ahead for the longer term, investors think that you should continue to ride this out. But with the volatility expected to pick up, because we still have other trade talks that are going to happen in the coming months and even perhaps coming years.
It's just Jessica Menton, personal finance and markets reporter at USA Today. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it looks like the star of one of the summer's most disgusting and talked about videos had his day in court, and he's asking for authorities to go easy on him. You'll remember the 24-year-old Texas man named DeAndrian Anderson, who uploaded a 20-second video of himself licking a tub of ice cream at a Walmart in August multiple times and then putting it back in the freezer case with the lid reattached. The video's been viewed over 160,000 times and spurred copycat lickers around the country. Anderson was in court yesterday and pleaded guilty to criminal mischief. He wasn't initially charged after the incident because he actually wound up buying the ice cream container he contaminated, but was later charged after the store had to replace all the ice cream tubs and pay for charges related to a police investigation. Anderson could face up to a year behind bars and a fine of $4,000, but is asking for leniency and probation instead.
Of course he is.
Yes.
Yeah, come on, guys. It wasn't that bad.
I mean, a year in jail is a little much, but I mean, like whatever it did cost to replace all that ice cream, I think he should probably be on the hook for that.
Oh, I don't disagree.
Yeah.
The thing that was disappointing was that others thought this was a good idea to be, as you pointed out, copycats.
Yes, we did, but for weeks we were doing stories about that, about copycat liquors all over the place.
Common sense seemed to escape many people in the wake of this incident.
Perhaps not realizing they could face a year in jail for doing so, which we know now.
Let's see if this becomes a deterrent. Yes. I'll think not.
And it seems we haven't learned any lessons, Gordon, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or maybe this young man just hasn't seen that 80s comedy classic. If he had, he'd probably realize that trying to drive his father's expensive sports car was a really bad idea. According to Fox News, video uploaded to Facebook shows the son getting into his dad's Ford Mustang Shelby GTR 350R that's parked in the garage and apparently starts it without first shifting into neutral, causing it to lurch forward into the corrugated metal wall with a sickening crunch when he lets off the clutch. He then jumps out of the car. Yeah, I know, it's painful. He jumps out of the car screaming, "I'm dead, I'm bleeping dead," as his friend captures the moment on his smartphone. The car has a starting price of nearly $75,000 and in the video didn't have a license plate on it, suggesting that it is used very sparingly, if at all. The video has been viewed over 2.5 million times.
Ouch. All right, so when I was 17, I went to look at a used car with my dad. Mm-hmm. And one of them was a Mustang.
Right.
So I went to this local dealership in Edison, New Jersey. And it's a stick shift, the Mustang I get behind, which I had not driven before.
Uh-oh.
My dad says, well, now's a good time to learn. So we pull the Mustang out onto this like busy highway area, Route 27.
Yeah.
Traffic. And I get to the traffic light and I'm waiting to make the left as other traffic is coming in front of me. And the light turns red.
Yeah.
So it's my turn to just go now and finish out the turn. And I'm bucking that thing, trying to get it out of first gear.
Stuck in the second. Intersection.
Oh, I'm giving my dad a whiplash. He's like, go. I'm like, well, the car stopped. Now I got to turn the car back on and put it in. Oh, I was a disaster with the manual transmission.
The test drive was the time to learn.
Yes.
That's what your dad thought.
Yes, as my dad thought.
All right.
Feel this pressure.
Got to learn sometime.
I failed. Yeah, so I've somehow rolled it out of the intersection.
Sure, the dealership didn't love having that transmission back either.
That's right. Can we have the Mustang back, please? Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Ever wanted to learn how to play guitar or bass? Try the Fender Play app for guitar, bass, and ukulele. With Fender Play,
You can play your first song in just minutes from experienced instructors. I've always wanted to learn to play the guitar, and this app makes it so easy. Fender Play goes step by step, tailored to your musical taste, all from your phone, tablet, or computer. With a Fender Play membership, you can master chords, songs, and techniques at your own pace, track progress in their app, get support in Fender's exclusive online community, and get unlimited access to hundreds of lessons for an entire year, all for less than the average cost of one traditional music lesson. For a limited time, new members can try Fender Play free for 2 weeks and save 50% off a Fender Play annual plan. Go to Fender.com/podcast and enter the special offer code MORNING at checkout. Offer ends Monday, January 20th at midnight Pacific time, so act fast. That's Fender.com/podcast and use the offer code MORNING to try it free, save 50%, and start learning today. Fender.com/podcast and the code MORNING. Thanks for being with us. Adults in the U.S. who binge drink are consuming even more alcohol per episode. That's according to new findings by the Center for Disease Control. Researchers analyzed data from a 6-year period and discovered that the annual number of binge drinks among adults who reported excessive drinking jumped on average from 472 back in 2011 to 529 in 2017. That is a 12% increase. The CDC defines binge drinking, by the way, as 5 drinks or more for men or 4 or more for women on a single occasion. The CDC says binge drinking has serious health risks, including car accidents, domestic violence, STDs, unintentional pregnancy, stroke, and heart and liver disease. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with 3 big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, the impeachment trial of President Trump has officially opened in the Senate. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says new evidence reinforces the need for senators to call additional witnesses. She warned senators not to become all the president's henchmen. President Trump again derided the proceedings as a hoax. Number two, U.S. Central Command now says several U.S. service members were injured during Iran's missile assault on an airbase in Iraq last week. It says several were treated for concussion symptoms from the blast and are still being assessed. President Trump said in an address to the nation the morning following the attack that the U.S. suffered no casualties. Number three, the Senate has overwhelmingly approved a new North American trade pact that rewrites the rules of trade with Canada and Mexico, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I know my colleagues have been hearing the same thing from their home states, Republicans, Democrats, senators, representatives. Our incoming has been the same. Get this deal passed. Failure is not an option.
The agreement would replace the 25-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement known as NAFTA. The Coast Guard has suspended the search for 2 crew members missing after a deadly collision between a fishing boat and an oil tanker just off the Texas coast. The search followed Tuesday's collision, covering nearly 50 miles before it was called off yesterday. 2 other crew members of the fishing boat were pulled out of the water Tuesday. 1 died shortly thereafter. A strong winter storm is developing in the plains and is expected to travel quickly east through the weekend, delivering a blast of snow and ice. It will bring the possibility of snow, freezing rain, sleet to a large chunk of the country from Oklahoma to Maine. Significant snow accumulations are likely in portions of Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, and the interior northeast. And the Fitbit on your wrist not only counts your steps and minutes of sleep, it can also help tell if you're coming down with the flu and help health authorities deal with flu outbreaks. A new study has found that heart rate and sleep data from wearable fitness tracker watches can predict and alert public health officials to real-time outbreaks of flu more accurately than current surveillance methods. By using Fitbit data, statewide predictions of flu outbreaks were improved and accelerated.
Wow. Okay, so then a government drone will deliver your medicines and remote control by your car company will prevent your vehicle from starting so you can't go to work.
We're being watched.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. On this morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. It seems like everyone wants to get fitter in 2020, including a spirited golden retriever. Video of a dog named Riptide working out hit Twitter and quickly went viral. It was shared by an account called Humor and Animals. The video shows a group of gym-goers on their backs in a circle performing an ab workout with their legs in a cycling motion. Fox News says not one to miss an ab-toning exercise. Riptide joined in the fun, wiggling around the ground and kicking his legs in the air while an amused-looking instructor watched. Footage has since received over 600,000 views. Commenters were largely impressed with Riptide's moves and agreed they'd be more motivated to hit the gym if the pup was their workout partner. The Daily Mail, by the way, reports that the dog is the unofficial mascot of the Stanford University women's rowing team and often attends their training sessions. As for his personal brand, the photogenic pup keeps fans entertained on Instagram, where he has over 15,000 followers. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.